Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five. We raise our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. Try to give them a biblical worldview in relation to, well, all areas of life, but including culture, because culture plays such a major role in people's lives today, far more than education. For the average person, they're influenced by pop culture more than anything else, and so that's why we want to be analyzing Nashville, Hollywood, television, movies, and we'll do more of that on this edition of the program. Jonathan Clark in studio with me, one of our interns with our Discipleship Center, and has been here for the last 3 months. And he is one of our important researchers for the Worldview in 5 Minutes and other parts of the radio ministry. Well, Jonathan, I want to say that pop culture is not just fun and games.
No,
I think some people think it is. But it's not just fun and games. Pop culture also has a propagandizing and conditioning element to it.
Mm-hmm.
The people that present the entertainment are usually highly intelligent people who want to make a cultural impact upon the minds and the hearts and the lives of the people that they're influencing. They are the influencers of the day, far more influential than the president of the United States,
absolutely,
as I see it.
Yeah.
And so there's a propagandizing conditioning elements of entertainment, and we're going to treat that on this edition of the program. The average person reading Charles Darwin will probably get lost within the first 5 to 6 words. He's got sentences that go on for 300 words, and those words are really, really, really long. So Darwin is boring. You read Origin of the Species, you will be bored.
Mm-hmm.
You will not understand what he's saying. I'm talking about the average person. Now, some will read Darwin and understand what he's saying, but the average person, I'm talking about the masses, they're not going to read Charles Darwin. Darwin is boring. Steven Spielberg is fun.
Mm-hmm.
You see the difference?
Absolutely.
Now, Steven Spielberg is a famous producer. I'm just using his name
sure,
because it's the first one to come to mind.
Yeah.
But there are all sorts of television producers and movie producers out there that have tremendous influence on minds, but they were able to take the ideas of Charles Darwin, Friedrich Nietzsche, or John Paul Sartre and work them into the mass culture. And the mass culture, before you know it, they're thinking like Friedrich Nietzsche, Sartre, and Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Germans used propaganda to soften people against the Jews in the 1920s, 1930s. You know that. They used propaganda to soften people towards the treatment of the Jews,
mm-hmm,
to soften them towards the Nazis and harden their hearts towards the Jews. That might be a better way to say it. Well, I think the same thing is happening today. People don't think they're being propagandized, but they're being propagandized. I take, for example, the War for the Planet of the Apes. It's a movie coming out here in just another month or so, another part of the summer movie fair. And here's what happens. In the Planet of the Apes, by naturalistic processes, an ape is given more advanced capabilities. Now, what does that sound like to you?
Sounds like evolution.
It's evolution fast-tracked. There's no question. It's evolution fast-tracked.
Yeah.
Of course, that's the way evolutionists would like to have had it, seen it happen, because they're not finding any significant intermediate forms in the fossil layers. So it would be, mm-hmm, nice, as
right,
from the average evolutionist perspective, if there was some kind of a naturalistic process that kind of hurried it up,
yep,
such that an ape could turn into a human being in, well, about 10 minutes. Sadly, there's nothing like that in the fossil layers for the evolutionists. And, of course, nothing like that has ever happened in a laboratory. But this is wishful thinking. And if you see it in the movie, then it must have happened in real life. I think
that's
the way most people think about these things. So that's basic to the Planet of the Apes. In the movie description, we find this phrase: the war is about the survival of the species. As the journey finally brings them face to face, Caesar and the Colonel are pitted against each other in an epic battle that will determine the fate of both their species and the future of the planet.
Wow.
Now, what does that sound like? Does that sound like natural selection to you? Does it sound like survival of the fittest to you?
Sounds like, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like blood and tooth and claw.
Mm-hmm.
Human tooth,
yeah.
And ape claw. Well, this is the basic evolutionary worldview, and I think we need to be sure that people understand that movies like The War for the Planet of the Apes make a strong anthropological point, and that is, there is no essential image of God in man.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, there is no essential difference between man and an ape. And what percentage of the population do you think is coming to believe that?
a large percentage.
It's got to be larger and larger, Jonathan. And it's not happening because they're sitting in their biology classroom.
Nope.
It's happening because they're out there on the playground interacting with their friends.
In the cinema room.
And they're out in the cinema room, and they're absorbing pop culture, which is selling them a bill of goods through movies like War for the Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting also that environmentalisms, that is, environmentalists, they fight for an equalitarian between the various species. They want the species surviving. They want to save the species, but there's also the problem of the evolutionary survival of the species motif that comes through the blood and tooth and claw. So which is it? Do you want to save the apes or do you want to destroy the apes? There tends to be something of a tension between the environmentalists and the strict evolutionists. Now, what we say is that can be easily resolved. And it's resolved this way. We don't want to destroy the species. And we don't need to establish equalitarianism between all the species, humans included. See, neither worldview is our worldview. Our worldview is a dominion-based worldview.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And this story really is a story of failed dominion, the War of the Planet of the Apes. It's a failed dominion.
How did that happen?
Because, you see, the apes became what they were because of man.
So humans were experimenting on apes.
On apes.
That's how it began.
That's right.
So it was a weird experiment on the apes, but was not done in a proper dominion mode.
Exactly.
Okay, which is not unusual for modern science.
Yeah, and then man tries to redeem himself from this dominion failure by resorting to violence.
Okay.
But then the question is, by contrast, in Scripture, we see a totally different story. We do see man failed in his dominion task. He did disobey God in the garden.
That's right.
He did try to become God himself, but his redemption from his sin isn't through warfare and bloodshed.
It's through the incarnation of Jesus.
It's through Jesus Christ, who came and died for our sins and rose again.
That's right.
So that we can have a right relationship with God and our fellow man and even the world around us, including the monkeys and the apes.
You know, Jonathan, I think it's important that we teach our children the right worldview in contrast with these crazy worldviews that are not true to fact. Now, of course, some would say the Battle for the Planet of the Apes is something of a sci-fi story, but its roots are in an evolutionary outlook upon life, which is being taught in almost every public school and public university in America. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Broadcasts. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. And welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Jonathan Clark also in studio as we take a look at pop culture and some of the most recent television programs and movies that have tremendous influence upon the masses. It turns out that pop culture is a tool whereby the powers that be can initiate certain propaganda forms and condition the world. for certain perspectives and to accomplish certain agendas. I think we need to remember this, that it's not just entertainment. There's also a propagandizing element and a conditioning element. Jonathan, there's a new book out called The Handmaid's Tale, also a movie and a Hulu series. That is a television series that was produced and it is now airing as of April 26th. I think it's the third or fourth episode thus far. But it's a shocking, shocking story and meant for the persecution of Christians. As you read the book, it's incredibly twisted. My wife read a little bit of it. Apparently, it wound up on her little reader. And so she says it's very twisted. It's, mm-hmm. Evidently, the author herself or himself was incredibly twisted. And basically, the thrust of the story is that pro-life, anti-contraceptive Christians are going to be equated to rapists. And that's what happens.
Wow.
That is, they create a straw man.
Mm-hmm.
They create a gigantic caricature of a biblical Christian, and then they turn them into rapists. So this kind of thing is propaganda. It's just pure and simple propaganda. This is the kind of thing that happened with the Jews in the 1930s. The German media found a way in which they could caricaturize the Jews in certain ways, and the populace generally turned against them and increasingly supported the Nazi regime. And it happened largely through media. And I think we need to remember that media is extremely powerful and it has influence on people. And the average person probably doesn't think critically. They're not checking out what Leviticus really said
No.
or what Deuteronomy really said.
Yeah.
They're just happy to receive whatever the recent Hulu producer is giving them. And they're taking sides. And the side they take is going to be against any Christian who's pro-life or anti-contraceptive.
Right.
That's what happens as a result of this kind of propaganda. It's not that difficult to get the mob moving in the right direction or the wrong direction, as the case may be. So I think what happens with this kind of series is that it's going to turn the masses against Christians. It's the Rwanda thing. It's the German thing.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the Rwanda media increasingly turned one of the racial groups against the other racial group in the Rwanda genocide that occurred, what was it, about 10 years ago. Well, that is the kind of thing that's happened throughout history. We saw it happening in Germany. We saw it happening in Rwanda. Now, I guess the question is, could it happen in the United States of America? Are we completely immune from any of these particular things? I don't think we are.
We're not.
I think the influences of Hollywood, the influences of these powerful producers can turn the masses more and more against biblical Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the description we find on Wikipedia on The Handmaid's Tale. In a dystopian near future, the totalitarian and Christian fundamentalist government of Gilead, there it is, Christian fundamentalist
mm-hmm.
government of Gilead, rules the former United States amidst an ongoing civil war. Abortionists are hung. All right, what's that sound like?
That
sounds like the pro-lifers are trying to put an end to abortion. So abortionists are hung. Women are subjugated. They're not allowed to own property, control money, or read. And they're forced to be concubines for the ruling elite in the dystopian world of Gilead. So that's the story. If they say the wrong thing or do the slightest thing wrong, they'll be executed and so forth and so on. So again, these are extremely wicked people, tyrannical people,
mm-hmm.
and they're being caricaturized as biblical Christians. Okay, so again, this is the kind of thing to prepare for. If you are pro-life, if you are pro-child, if you don't want to kill your kids using abortifacients, they are going to caricaturize you as these people in the Republic of Gilead.
That's right.
It's just going to happen. I think people need to keep this in mind. Now, again, we're not encouraging you to fear these things. Blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake.
Mm-hmm.
Rejoice and be exceeding glad. See, this is typical for Christians.
They're That's
always
right.
being caricaturized. Any kind of a biblical Christian is going to be taken out of context. He's going to be treated as some kind of a weirdo, and he's going to be presented in a straw man caricature as they do in movies like this or television programs like this. False accusations and false caricatures for anybody who opposes the present cultural and social milieu is to be expected, my friends. Any true Christian church is going to be maligned. they're going to be falsely accused. Any true pastor from here on out is going to be falsely accused. There may be some exceptions, but I doubt it. He's going to be falsely accused. He's going to be maligned. He's going to be characterized in some weird way as what they've done in this Republic of Gilead, in this story, The Handmaid's Tale. Well, the world presents itself as the paradigm of virtue, Jonathan.
Yes, it does.
With its 70% of kids born outside of wedlock, half of marriages ending in divorce, its birth implosions in 80 countries around the world. Feminism and the sexual revolution have virtually destroyed civilizations through the abortifacient birth control pill and through abortion. And the last 40 to 50 years have been miserable years. The number of kids born outside of wedlock has increased sevenfold, shack up some tenfold, and homosexuality, of course, through the ceiling. So these are all indications that the social and cultural milieu is falling apart at the seams. Cities, city states, cultures, civilizations, countries will not survive this kind of a hurricane force that is ripping apart the nuclear family in this country. And I think people need to remember that the world presents itself as the paradigm of virtue, but it is committing suicide on itself.
That's right.
Like right now. And actually, when socialism fails and single women with all of their sexual license can't live off the state anymore by welfare, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. Islam is going to happen.
That's right.
Now, we already know Islam is happening.
It is.
Right?
Europe.
Exactly. Christian churches, the number of Christian churches extant in Europe and still somewhat biblical, almost negligible.
Absolutely, yeah.
Almost negligible. But who's going to replace the burned out socialists and humanists in Sweden, Denmark, England, France, Germany?
It's the Muslims.
The Muslims. They're already there.
Yep.
They're already there. So when socialism fails, when we run out of other people's money, and single women can't live off their sexual license and welfare anymore, what's going to happen to them? Islam is poised to take over, my friends, and they will take care of the women. Of course they will. These women are going to be part of Muslim harems in the future. It seems like that's pretty obvious. And at that point, I wonder if the liberals are going to feel sorry. I wonder if they're going to repent of their going gaga over Islam in the 1990s and the 2000s. You know, I wonder if the liberals are going to realize, oh, we're so excited about the Muslim religion with all of their harems and all of their polygamy and all of their wonderful Sharia law. I wonder if they're going to come to the conclusion that maybe they had it wrong. Well, Islam is statist, totalitarian, tyrannical. We know that.
Yes.
You want to know what Islam looks like? It looks like the Republic of Gilead. That's what it looks like. That's Islam. That's not the Christian faith. That's Islam. Islam is especially strong on fiefdoms and polygamy, where a man can dominate his harem. Now, what happens in human society, Jonathan, where humans almost always embrace some form of tyranny? When strong centralized totalitarian tyrannies collapse, typically they will devolve into localized Islamic harems. You see, you go from large centralized tyrannies to decentralized tyrannies. Neither one is really that good.
No.
Neither one would constitute much of a blessing for anybody.
No.
But that's where man defaults by nature. Islam depreciates women. And you know, Islam depreciates a woman's testimony in court. It takes two women versus one man.
Two women.
To make testimony in a Sharia court.
Wow.
So I think you got to remember that too. Mm-hmm. They despise women. They subjugate women. Christianity is much better than Islam and humanism. Why? Because Christianity honors women and at the same time preserves the nuclear family.
That's right.
It's a twofer. It's a twofer.
Amen.
Two for one. You get two for one from time
two
to time
one.
In South Carolina?
We get those sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to make sure you understood what twofer was. All right. So Christianity is much better than Islam, friends. We think about the Republic of Gilead and The Handmaid's Tale. Christianity is better than Islam. It preserves the family unit, provides the right for women to own property. Think about the daughters of Zelophehad.
That's right.
In the book of
Numbers.
Numbers. Is it the book of Numbers? might be, I think it's in Joshua. As they're inheriting the land, the women had a right to own property. Remember, Zelophehad had five daughters.
Five daughters.
And God said that women have a right to own property.
They can own
again,
property. Yep.
That's why the caricatures you get from these ungodly pagans that are doing their best to castigate Christians as those who subjugate women. No, no, no. That's not what the Word of God, that's not what God's law brings out in the book of Joshua. Read your Word and stop caricaturizing what the Word of God says about these things. Women have the right to own property as dictated by God's laws found in the Word of God. But it's also very opposed, that is, the Christian faith is very opposed to killing babies.
It is.
Now, the humanists like to kill babies.
That's what they do.
Muslim jihad kills women and children wholesale.
Yeah.
We've seen that for the last 30 to 40 years. But the Christian faith is not about killing women and children and babies.
It's about
the
saving.
Christian faith is even better than humanism.
That's right.
With all of its billions of abortions and Islam, the Christian faith is better. Why? Because it's opposed to killing babies. The biblical system does impose responsibility on young men who impregnate young women out of wedlock, so young ladies aren't left high and dry on the support of their kids. Now, you find that in the Word of God. You say, well, what happens? Well, responsibility is imposed upon young men who impregnate young women. That's, you know, and by the way, that needs to happen.
That's right.
These women should not be left high and dry. It takes two to tango, as we like to say, generally speaking. The Bible also tells a husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The Bible forbids polygamy and presents every example of concubinage in the Old Testament as a bad situation.
That's right.
The Bible forbids concubinage, Old and New Testament. The Bible forbids concubinage. And I think that's really clear. The Bible honors a woman's testimony in court, and the Christian faith changes society by preaching the Word of God and by the regenerating force of the Holy Spirit of God working from the inside out, not by revolution, not by civil wars and Islamic coercive submission or the top-down totalitarian state.
That's right. James says true religion is to care for widows and orphans.
That's right. Exactly. All right. Well, friends, it's important for us to identify the kind of propaganda that's being used to condition society towards what? It's hard to know what will happen in the future, but this is the sort of thing that happened in Nazi Germany. This is the kind of thing that happened in the Rwanda as a certain sect, a certain part of society, a certain culture within society was discriminated against by media, and that's precisely what is going on right now by programs like The Handmaid's Tale. And one more thing, and this just came across our desk as we were preparing for the Worldview in 5 minutes a few days ago. These violent video games, the shoot 'em up stuff, the is it called first person shooter programs. They're increasingly staging eccentric cults and Christian sects as the enemy.
Really?
So,
wow.
So what they're doing is they're conditioning young men or young women, those that do these shoot 'em up games, to be open to the idea of shooting on eccentric cults or Christian sects of some sort. There's a new release coming out of a video game called Far Cry. It's Far Cry 5, and it presents a militant pseudo-Christian cult complete with flannel shirts. So they've got Bibles there and guns. They're the bad guys, all right? They're the guys you shoot in the shoot 'em up game. Mm-hmm. Even some secular organizations like The Verge commented on this new release of Far Cry, and here's what they said about it, Jonathan. This is the biggest and most aggressive game to adjust the sights of the first-person shooter genre against people of the United States.
People of the United
States.
That
is the citizenry of the United States. The first time. See, this is not a Christian site. We're kind of concerned that the first-person shooter games are now targeting citizens of the United States and conditioning the next generation to shoot upon and kill innocent citizens who at this point haven't done anything wrong. Now, of course, this is also encouraging some degree of anarchism, which is not helpful either. So I guess reasons to be somewhat concerned, and yet let's remember that God is in control.
That's right.
We are not going to fear what will happen to us because God is in absolute control over what happens amongst the godly and amongst the ungodly as well. And if he's going to raise up tyrants to further persecute his church, well, so be it. It will be for the benefit of his church. We know that.
That's right.
We certainly have seen that over the last 2,000 years. But I think we should give folks the heads up that this is the kind of thing that's happening in pop culture today. Watch out for propaganda. Watch out for the way in which worldviews are being conveyed to the masses. It's happening through pop culture, friends. It's happening through the media. It's happening through the computer game genre and through movies and television. So we just gave a couple of examples of how that happens on this edition of the Generations Broadcast. I hope this has been helpful for you. As we wrap up this edition of the program, I encourage you to the book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Say About Pop Culture, as an introduction to how to discern pop culture in our day. How do you discern it at various levels? And we address that in the book, The Tattooed Jesus. Also, if you'd like to support our radio program, the opportunity is afforded to you right now. Over the next month, we're hoping for 100 sponsors to keep this radio program on the air. We have tens of thousands of families that are blessed by this in over 100 countries around the world. And if you'd like to support this radio program, just simply go to our website, generations.org, and click on Give or Donate right now. And we would appreciate it if you would contribute to this radio program to keep us on the air and to be a blessing to others. This is Kevin Swanson and Jonathan Clark in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
Finding it tough to spend quality time with your son? Come to the Father-Son Retreat this summer, Thursday, August 31st through Sunday, September 3rd, and experience the blessing of 4 days of solid teaching and mountain activities at one of America's most beautiful and exciting mountain lodges near Winter Park, Colorado. Register at ColoradoFatherSon.com. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com. It's Friday, June 2nd, A.D. 2017. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The President of the United States announced yesterday his decision to pull the country out of the Paris Climate Accord.
So we're getting out, but we will start to negotiate, and we will see if we can make a deal that's fair. And if we can, that's great. And if we can't, that's fine. As president, I can put no other consideration before the well-being of American citizens.
Trump says his decision will save America 6.5 million jobs, $3 trillion of potential loss to the gross domestic product, and $7,000 less annual median household income. He also noted that India and China are given favorable treatment as they increase their coal production, while America was penalized by the accord. 195 nations remain signed on. Persecution of Christians is filtering into small towns and rural counties now. A farmer in Michigan has been banned from participating in a local farmer's market because he simply argued for traditional marriage on his Facebook page. Controversies have surrounded the family farm since they refused to accommodate a lesbian wedding on their property in 2014. Steve Tenz will be banned from the East Lansing Farmers Market effective this weekend. The Alliance Defending Freedom has taken up the case. Proverbs 29:27 says, "He that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked." Fox News says it is likely to be a blockbuster case. The Supreme Court is looking at taking up the Jack Phillips bakery case. Jack Phillips, a baker in Denver, refused to participate in a homosexual wedding in 2012 and has faced fines and other repercussions at the hands of the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. Phillips argues that he has a right to free expression and sincerely held religious beliefs in relation to the sin of homosexuality. A Las Vegas judge has sentenced Jerry DeLamis to 7 years in prison for his role in defending Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy from what they perceived to be a land grab by federal agents back in 2014. DeLamis received the sentence for backing Bundy, who refused to pay the federal government what they claimed were 20 years of grazing fees for his cattle. In court, DeLamis cited a biblical passage claiming that his support for Bundy is akin to laying down his life for his friend, citing John 15:13. The pressure on Australia to legalize homosexual marriage intensifies. Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream has announced the company will not serve two scoops of the same flavor ice cream until the country legalizes the unnatural state of sexual union. The slogan used on the Ben & Jerry Twitter account is, quote, "Love comes in all flavors," unquote. However, God defines love differently. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." 1 John 5:3. Planned Parenthood's annual report for 2015 to 2016 has been released. And the skinny on the report is that the organization is serving less women, performing more abortions, using more government tax money, and making more profit than ever. The abortion chain killed 328,000 little baby boys and girls, up over 1% over the previous year. And this does not include the 767,000 Plan B abortifacient drugs administered by the organization in 2016. Is socialist medicine killing babies against their parents' wishes in Britain? The Sun reports on Camille McGill's experience, whose son Alfie was born at 23 weeks. The child was left to die, McGill says. Quote, "It felt like their decision was that my baby was worthless, as they decided not to intervene. It was an horrendous thing to experience. I feel racked with guilt that I should have done more, that I should have demanded someone else check if he was dead," unquote. And some good news to wrap up the week. A former Imperial Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan left the organization and came to know the Lord after meeting an African-American pastor named Wade Watts. The former wizard, Johnny Lee Clary, told the story of his first meeting with the pastor in a YouTube clip on the talk show Enough Rope. Listen to the former wizard Johnny Lee Clary tell the story about his first meeting with the pastor in a YouTube clip on the talk show Enough Rope.
When the door opened up and in came Reverend Wade Watts, and he's wearing a suit and a tie, and he's carrying a Bible, and he walks up and he puts his hand out to him. He goes, "Hello there, Mr. Clare. I'm Reverend Wade Watts. I just want to tell you I love you and Jesus loves you." And I mean, I'm shocked, you know. And then he puts his hand out, and I'm shaking his hand without thinking, because this wasn't what I was expecting.
His whole testimony on YouTube has almost 500,000 views now, and it is worth watching. Gloria Huerta, a Worldview listener in Santa Rosa, California, wrote me and said, "Dear brother, thank you for your news. You are straight to the point, and you back up some of the stories with the Word of God. I do not have cable TV, as I've chosen not to watch the garbage that the mainstream media puts out. So getting the news through you is so very different from them. Thank you for your service to the Lord," unquote. Great to hear from a California listener. I'd love to get at least one email today and over the weekend from each state. So far, I've received emails this past week from California, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, North Dakota, Texas, and listen to this, a small island named Jersey just off the coast of France. What does the Worldview mean to you? What specifically do you like about it? Please email me a 2 to 10 sentence long response and include your full name, city, and state. I'd like to share your detailed thoughts with other listeners, both in our daily newscast as well as in an email to our subscribers who receive our weekday email in their inbox. Send it to adam@theworldview.com. That's adam@theworldview.com. Now don't forget your city and state, or country if you don't live in America. And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes on this Friday, June 2nd, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.